Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
Well, I don't know how long you stayed in the hospital after the birth of a child and how long the baby stayed in the hospital, but you know, it's always a question, and new mothers are very nervous when they take that tiny, tiny little newborn home, and that length of stay at the hospital is a little bit reassuring. But how long should you really be staying? There's a new AAP updated policy. My guest today is Dr. Christy Waterberg. She's a professor of pediatrics at the University of New Mexico. Welcome to the show, Dr. Waterberg. So tell us a little bit about what determines how long a new mother and the baby stay in the hospital, what effects that length of stay has, and what are some of the dangers of that early discharge, getting out just a little bit too early?
Sure. Well, like you said, it's the very beginning. It's such an important time to set everything sort of on the right path. And the length of stay for any baby should depend on that baby and the mother, as well as the family support that's available. So we saw in the 70s and 80s a gradual decrease in the length of stay, partly driven by insurance because they weren't paying. If the baby was looking okay and ready to go home, well, they would get out before 48 hours, 24 hours or something like that. And there were just some things that got missed in that process. And so the Congress enacted legislation in the 90s, and most of the states have done as well, saying that you have to allow mothers and babies to stay in the hospital for at least 48 hours because there's so much to accomplish in terms of making sure the baby's okay, that the mother's comfortable with taking care of the baby, that everything is ready at home. So it's at least 48 hours that must be available for moms who have given vaginal birth and at least 96 hours for cesarean. Under some circumstances, especially if it's your second, third, or fourth baby, you may decide that everything looks fine and you're going to leave before 48 hours, and that's great. But we wanted women not to feel like they were being pushed out of the hospital before everything was ready.
Hear, hear. Now, how do you know? I mean, a newborn, new mother, we're all freaks anyway, right?
Yeah.
So how do we know? We're terrified to
Aren't
go
we
home.
All? Oh.
We are, and we're terrified to give that first bath. You're terrified of that first night and all of those things. How do you know you're ready to leave that safety cocoon that is the hospital?
Well, for one thing, you can't sleep very well in the hospital.
No, that's true.
No, I'm just being a little flip there. But the there's a whole series of things that need to be accomplished, and you need the help of the people in the hospital to make sure that that happens. So, for instance, we hope that all mothers will breastfeed. Some can't or some choose not to, but we try and encourage all mothers to breastfeed. And in order to make sure that that's going okay, someone should actually observe the feeding, that not just say, oh, yeah, it's going fine, I'm fine, but to actually watch the feeding and to make sure that the baby is feeding at least twice successfully before you can go home. And then the mom can get some reassurance from the nurses and everybody in the hospital that, yes, this is how things are supposed to go. That baby is doing what he or she needs to do. There are blood tests that need to be done for metabolic screening for some diseases. These things should be done before the baby goes home. Every baby should be screened for bilirubin, either with a blood sample or with what we call transcutaneous, where you put a device on the skin and it reads the bilirubin. All babies should have at least one of those before they go home, and then we plot out where that baby fits on a certain scale and say, well, this one looks fine. We don't think they're going to get into trouble from bilirubin. Or, you know, that's up a little high. Let's either have you come back tomorrow to our newborn clinic or keep you another day or that kind of thing.
We do all know somebody who went home and then had to come back a couple days later with jaundice.
Yes, that's right.
So that's really good that you guys are all testing for that now, that you're making sure before we go that everything are at levels that you want us to be at and that you
right.
want our little babies. So nursing, you want to make sure they're being fed and at least observe it twice and
right.
make sure that they know what they're doing. And what about setting up things kind of at home, you know, car seats, cribs, all of that sort of thing should be ready and done, right?
Absolutely. And the car seat is critical. We generally ask that people bring their car seat in so that we can show them how to put the baby in it for discharge, because we do not want to discharge any baby that doesn't have a car seat available. So I think that's really important. And the family structure, the support system is really important. And the only thing only way that you can get sort of a handle on that is just by having mom talk to the hospital personnel, the nurse, the social worker, the lactation consultant about how things are going and what support they have at home.
Dr. Waterberg, throughout the pregnancy, we deal with our OB-GYN and feel comfortable with that person, and they're the ones that deliver our baby, hopefully, unless they're not on call that night. And, you know, that's the person that we're used to. Now, all of a sudden, you have a new doctor, somebody who is really going to, you hope, be your trusted ally.
Right.
How do you recommend finding that pediatrician so that you have your medical home set when you leave the hospital, you know where you're going in that 1 week time for that 5 day checkup?
Right. We absolutely encourage a prenatal visit, not waiting until the baby's born and then, you know, hoping that you like that pediatrician when you get there, but you can get a referral from your obstetrician, people that they work with that they like. You can ask, you know, friends and neighbors and various people that you are in, and make sure that your insurance network covers that.
Absolutely.
But especially for your first baby, or if you're in a new location, you've moved from one place to another, or if there's anything in particular about this pregnancy that's different or unusual. But for every first mom especially, we would really like them to go and meet the pediatrician before they actually go to the hospital and have the baby. And then a lot of places now are not having your primary care provider, your pediatrician, your family practitioner come into the hospital and see your baby. A lot of times those are now called hospitalists. They're physicians who actually work in the hospital all the time and see all of the babies. So you may not see your pediatrician until after discharge. That's another reason to have that relationship set up before you get to the hospital instead of after. If you haven't been able to do that and you're in the hospital, then the best thing would be to ask the physicians in the hospital for their recommendations and find someone who's not far away from you and, you know, sounds like that would be a good fit.
What do you want parents to know, new parents to know, about the vaccinations before that they are discharged from the hospital and why not to be afraid of those? And then add in a little bit, we don't have a lot of time, about aftercare, if we should be caring for the umbilical cord or if they've had a circumcision, any of those things.
Sure. The initial hepatitis B vaccine should be given to all babies before they leave the hospital. And that's to get started with the hepatitis B series. This is an extremely safe vaccine, as they all are, but this one, there are not really any complications with it. Now, the other half of that is that if the mom has not been vaccinated during pregnancy, this is the good time to get her DPT vaccination, preferably a Tdap, which is the acellular pertussis, but it's just a particular kind that is reasonable for adults to get. So if she hasn't gotten that during her pregnancy, she should get vaccinated immediately. The other thing is to encourage all the people that are going to come into contact with that little baby to get their dose of the tetanus and diphtheria and pertussis vaccine before they come and talk to the baby. We have had an increase in the number of babies who have whooping cough, which is the pertussis, and that can be prevented if they don't experience exposure to someone who has not been vaccinated. The mom should also have a flu vaccine if she hasn't been vaccinated during pregnancy. So it's as important, the vaccines that the mom and the family and people are going to interact with that baby get, almost as what the baby gets.
We only have about 30 seconds left. Best advice, new mothers, new little born babies. Oh, I love them so much. And going home for that first time.
Going home is so hard. And the one thing I try and tell every mom is, you know, your baby is going to be awake and crying all that first night. That's just the way it is.
It is.
If that doesn't happen, lucky you. But your baby is going to be awake and crying. It's going to feel like you're not giving them enough milk. You have feeding them every 2 hours, and you're going to be exhausted. The thing to remember is it gets better. Within 2 weeks or so, you and your baby will be in rhythm with each other, and you'll be feeding them, and you'll be happy about it. Don't wait until then if you need help, but just don't be surprised. That's what you expect.
Great, great information. You're listening to Healthy Children right here on Radio MD. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks for listening, and stay well.